Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife.
I'll have to pull myself together. I'm beginning to jump at shadows. Take this little incident of Angela Tennant now. I met her this afternoon quite by accident, and we traded a few cracks over a drink at the Ambassador's. Now, I know Angela pretty well. I used to think I could see through her like a window. But now I'm not so sure. She wasn't chummy, far from it. But she wasn't venomous enough either. She was having a quiet little snigger to herself. And I ask you, what's Angela got to snigger about for the love of Pete? And then she pushed off with my cigarette case. Oh, wait. Could have been just a mistake, or Angela could be an unsuspected kepto, but I don't think so. I tried to phone her just now. She answered and then hung up the minute she knew who was calling. I dialed again, but now she's not answering at all, so I'm going round to see her. I not only want my cigarette case, but I want to know just what Angela's cooking up. Expecting me, Angela?
Hardly. What do you want?
My cigarette case. I think you have it. Can I come in?
You can come in, but I don't know what you're talking about.
I gave you a fag this afternoon and left my case lying open on the bar. After you'd gone, I could scarcely help noticing my case was gone, too. Well, come on, do the right thing.
I have a case of my own, and I don't find it necessary to snaffle other people's. Buzz off, will you? I have to dress.
Now, look, Angela, if you're desperately in need of something to carry your gaspers round in, why not say so and I'll buy you one? I just happen to want my own back.
This could go on forever. I did not take your cigarette case. So will you go?
If this is your idea of venting your petty spite on
my
me, Angela...
My spite's not petty, Palmer. Not where you're concerned.
I know you've got it. Hand it over.
Get out of my flat.
Not until you come to light with my case.
Don't you dare call me a thief.
Thief? That'd be crazy.
I don't have to take that from you. Now, get out. Get out. Don't you come near me, Palmer. Keep your hands off me. Don't you dare.
I'm not touching you, hysterical squaw.
Give away, I'll scream. If you touch me, I'll scream.
I haven't laid a hand on you yet, but if you don't give me that case, I'll screw your neck until you...
I say, what's going on in there? If you two want to mix it, keep your door shut, can't you?
Oh, for the love of Pete, did you know your front door was open? Now, calm down, Angela. Can't you take it easy? I wasn't going to touch you.
Sorry. I lost my head. My nerves are in a rotten state. But honestly, I didn't take your case. Cross my heart. Get me a drink, would you? Get one for yourself. There's gin in there.
You need more than a drink.
I know, I know. I'm strung up like a zither string. Don't take any notice of me.
Orange juice or lime?
Lime. And shove in some bitters. Listen, Charlie must have pinched your case. You know, the hand quicker than the eye.
Here you are. Toss this off.
You got one? Good. Cheerio. Better forget that scene of mine, eh?
It doesn't mean a thing to me. All I want's my cigarette case.
If you say that once
okay,
more...
Okay, okay, forget it.
Look, I have to dress, and I'm running late. You've had your gin and lime, so will you shove off?
After that demonstration of yours, willingly. Oh, and... Angela, when you think better of it, let's have the thing back, will you? Thanks for the drink.
Palmer, my boy, it was better than I dreamed. Mr. White in the next flat heard you threatening, and I have your fingerprints on a glass. Don't worry, darling. You'll get your cigarette case back, all right. And how you'll get it back.
Frank Glover? What the deuce does he want? Oh, well, I'd better ask him to come in, sir.
Okay, Miss Bunsen. Thanks.
Hello, Frank. What can I do for you?
It's about that Southcote account you collared the other day. Mind you, I might be treading on soft ground here, Jeff. I've come to say my piece, so I might as well say it.
Ah, go right ahead.
Three of us, not too many?
No. Whatever you want to say, you can stay in front of Stiller.
Okay. That account came initially to Bendigo's. Very much against my advice, Marcia handed it over to you.
Yes, I had an idea it might have been something of the sort. At least, Stella did.
Have you signed them up?
Yesterday.
Too bad.
Why?
Figure it out yourself. Here, you've only yourself and Stella to consider. Trevor de Bendigo's have 48 people on the staff. And we only have to lose Benny Puller's account and a few others. We'll be shutting our doors.
Don't you think that's Marcia's affair, Frank?
I don't think it's much of a show, your wife running her own firm into the ground to keep you and Stella off the breadline.
Does Marcia know you're here?
Certainly not.
Well, you listen to me, Frank. I've asked no favors from Marcia. I'm asking none from you. Just don't come charging in here, telling me how to run my affairs.
I'm merely trying to appeal to your good sense. Look, couldn't we have this out privately? It's darned awkward.
All right. Would you mind very much, Teller? Vigorless. And don't shrug like this.
I don't like talking in front of that girl. Not about your personal affairs. Jeff, the way things have shaped between you and Marcia is downright tragic. She talks to me a bit, you know, and I let her think she's running the show, but I'm the kingpin. I don't mind a scrap, but this business of Southcote's was too much of a good thing altogether.
Well, hang it, I thought I had the account on my merits. I can't do anything about it now.
But this is only the beginning. That's what gets me down. Marcia would do anything for you, even ruin her own firm.
Are you asking me to see Marcia? Tell her not to be a fool?
Jeff, we have to look things in the face. You've got the Southcote account. Good luck to you. But, utterly unfair as it may be, your reputation around town isn't worth a darn. Marcia is going to turn down more business for you. But firms are going to say, oh no, not that chap Pilgrim, thanks very much. And then neither you nor Bendigo's will be getting any gravy. See what I mean?
Yes. Yes, Frank, I do. Sorry I blew off steam at you just now.
That's all right. I know how you feel. Well, no harm done, I hope.
No, no. No harm done. Why do I have to be always over a barrel? And the devil can't get a run on the rails just once in my life.
Maybe it's because you insist on doing the right thing. Jeff, we all have to do someone a bad turn once in our lives. Why don't you? Now.
Meaning?
The girl in the next room. I know what's keeping you and Marcia on opposite sides of the fence. And I know your only way out. Be a rotter just this once.
No.
Just once. For your own sake and your wife's. And for all I know, Stella's too. Go back to Marcia.
No.
You'll finish down the drain, old man.
Go on, Frank, beat it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm only saying there are some things you just don't do. Go on, beat it. And thanks, anyway.
Yes, well, of course, Mrs. Tennant, it's only to be expected. Apart from not getting much sleep, how do you feel in yourself?
Oh, about as you'd expect, Doctor.
You want something to make you sleep.
Well, things I've been taking are having less and less effect.
What things have you been taking?
Oh, the usual. I don't know what's in them. Little tablet affairs. Barbiturates, aren't they?
Proprietary line?
What's that?
Label things you can buy without a prescription.
Yes. Yes, I got them from the chemist.
All right, then. I'll give you a script for a sedative. But I must warn you, you'll have to stick to the prescribed dose. These are aluminum preparations, Mrs. Tennant. One tablet last thing at night. If you're exceptionally restless, you can take another. But no more.
Why? If I take three or four, mightn't I wake up?
Four at once, and you certainly won't wake up. Mrs. Tennant.
Yes, Doctor.
Why do you ask that? I wonder if I'm right giving you this prescription.
Why on earth shouldn't you?
Forgive me, but under the circumstances it occurred to me you mightn't want to wake up one morning.
I must have them, I must. I can't lie awake night after night, listening to the clock ticking my life away. Please, please, Doctor. I want my life. I want to enjoy it as long as I can. And I must get to sleep.
Very well. I'll take a chance on you. Here you are. I've authorized your chemist to make up 30 tablets for you. And he won't give you any more until you come to me again.
Oh, thank you very much, Doctor. Be a pet. Don't have any silly ideas about me.
I'll see that I don't have cause to. Goodbye, Mrs. Tennant. Allow me to say that you're taking it very well.
Why not? I won't live any longer by crying into my gin, will I? And you'd better hurry up with your bill before it's too late. Goodbye, Doctor. The cigarette case will bring him to my flat just once more. There's a glass with his fingerprints. I have 30 little white tablets. And that only leaves Marcia. I wonder if Marcia is going to be the weak link. Because I'd hate to waste the pills, Harry Palmer. But somehow I don't think they'll be wasted. Not for a minute, I don't.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.